Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just are so overjoyed to be here today worshiping. And we praise your holy name. Be with us as we continue. Open our hearts that we may be transformed and renewed by the preaching and teaching of God's word. And so we ask you to bless Brother Cal this morning as he preaches from your word. It is in Jesus' name that we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
Amen. I don't hardly ever do this, but Second Mile, you need to be aware of something. If you are, now I'm not going to embarrass any of you, I just want you to stand. If you're a guest or a visitor here this morning, would you please stand? We've got a gift for you, by the way. Just stand. Look across. Come on, guys, y'all get up. Y'all are guests. Stand up. Hey, guys, y'all are guests and visitors here today. Stand up. All right. Look, just look around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, y'all can sit down. Thank you for letting me recognize y'all. I've got to get to our campus church right after this service, but our chairman and deacons will be back here to answer any questions. We've got a gift for all of you. There's coffee cups back here for those of you that drink coffee. If you don't drink coffee, each cup is filled up with candy. Did you hear that? All right. So y'all grab one of those on your way out today and make sure you fill out a visitor's card. We want to have a record of your visit today. Thank you for being here. I was in a 2 or 3 week series of a breakthrough in worship, but I just felt led to go another direction this morning. And for those of you that don't know, we have a campus church out off Peaches Mill Road. It's called Kenwood Baptist Church. And they're without a campus pastor. Their pastor left. And so 2 weeks ago, I shared with them, what do you do when your pastor leaves? How many of you know pastors come and pastors go? Right? And so so this morning, I've got another message for them. What do you look for in a pastor? And I began to think, well, you know what? Our folks need to hear this too. And while I was, you know, this 3 week deal, while I was down, especially that first week while I was flat on my back, I started asking questions like this. What would happen at Second Mile Church if something happened to me? I'm not a spring chicken anymore. Hello? I know I shocked some of you. But if something happened to me, what would happen here? Well, God would take care of that. But you need to know also, as you guests and visitors, you need to know this. What do you look for in a pastor? Now, let me preface everything I'm about to say. I feel totally inadequate this morning, okay? So I'm preaching to me just like I'm preaching to y'all. And so we're going to look at this morning. what do you look for in a pastor? Are you ready? Well, about 12 of you are. Hallelujah. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 5. And when you find 1 Peter chapter 5, if you would, honor God's word by standing, if you can. If that's a struggle, that's okay. Just honor God's word today. All right. Everybody there, 1 Peter. Chapter 5, the elders who are among you, I exhort. And Peter says, I who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Y'all do know there's glory out ahead of us, right? Amen. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those who over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, y'all know who the chief shepherd is? The Lord Jesus Christ. You will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Father, make this passage of Scripture real to our hearts today. Help us to understand what leadership in the church is all about. Please, God, pour out your Spirit to us. Teach us from this passage of Scripture about what to look for in a shepherd, in a pastor. Help us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now, Simon Peter is writing to the church, okay? That's all this what I've just read to you. He's writing to the church and he's warning them that Satan would attack them. How many of you know when a church is growing, Satan's mad as a hornet? And so he's warning the church, man, you need to be careful and because you're going to suffer for the Lord's sake. And Peter first addresses the elders, or what we might call the pastors, first in this letter, who were especially under attack from the enemy. And I've asked you all many times, how could Satan most quickly give this church a black eye? By me going out here and doing something real stupid. And by the way, those of you that have known me for years know I have a propensity to do stupid things. And so pray for me. Because I want to tell you what, Satan has his bullseye right here. And that's not because I'm somebody special, it's just because God's called me to do what I'm doing. So, anyways. And so that's the warning that Simon Peter is giving to the church here. And he addresses the elders or the church leadership. And in this warning, in this address, we find some great characteristics to look for in a pastor. All right. Now, I've told you all before, I'm living proof God's got a sense of humor. If he'll call me to do what I do, he'll call anybody. I told you all what the lady in my second church that I was being called to, I just preached a trial sermon. She fed us lunch, and then she called one of the other church members and said, if he's a pastor, the woods are full of them. So, anyways, they became one of our sweetest friends in 20 years there. So, first thing I think that the Word of God is teaching us here about a pastor is a pastor should shepherd the flock humbly, in humility, okay? Let me read it again. Verse 1 says, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Verse 3, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And so Peter describes himself to these other church leaders as a fellow elder. He's identifying with them. He says, hey, I'm with you. I'm doing the same thing that you're doing. And anytime y'all in the Scriptures, especially in the New Testament, when you see the terms elder, bishop, and overseer, you're talking about the office of a pastor. Okay? Now, a pastor is a shepherd. Great imagery there when you start thinking about a shepherd. And so, and then Peter says something kind of strange here. He identifies with them. He says, I'm a fellow elder, but I'm also a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Now, in Simon Peter's day, everybody knew who Simon Peter was. And everyone remembered and recalled the day that Simon Peter had denied the Lord. You remember, Simon Peter had a pride issue like a lot of pastors do. And the Lord had to rebuke him and say, Simon Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me not once, not twice, but three times. And that's exactly what happened. And you remember the scene. The last denial, he began to curse. And then all of a sudden, the door to the outer praetorium opened up and they led Jesus out. And Simon Peter looked up from the fire and his eyes met the eyes of his Savior. And right then, Peter dropped his head and went out and wept bitterly. Now, tradition tells us, Jewish historians tell us, that whenever Simon Peter came to town, or when he would go to the synagogue, or when he would head down to the marketplace for ministry, do you know what his detractors would do? They would begin to crow. Ah, 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 oh! That's terrible, isn't it? And his detractors would crow. And I want to tell you, I think that more than anything else really kept Simon Peter in his place, kept him humble. He realized, you know, now Simon Peter had sinned, but he repented and God restored him. But you know, sometimes it's hard to forget things, right? And I think this more than anything else probably kept Simon Peter humble. Now, when you're looking for a pastor, you need to find a man that has a humble heart, somebody who's full of humility. I mentioned a minute ago that the term, the office of pastor, is often compared to that of a shepherd. And I want to tell you about a shepherd. A shepherd has to be, his responsibility, his job is very humbling. People would look down on them. They were nasty, dirty. It was a tough job, tiresome job, thankless job, and it took humility to be a shepherd. And can I just tell you, it takes humility to be a pastor. I think what, you know, this deal with my whole ordeal for the last year and a half, God needed to humble me in some areas of my life. And I want to tell you, He loves you just like He loves me. And humility is a great characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so your pastor needs to operate. He's not perfect, but he needs to have some humility about him. And can I just share with you? I know a bunch of pastors. I prayed for 154 pastors this morning that I know and that I run around with. And that, anyways. But can I just tell y'all a little secret? Some of my brother pastors can strut sitting down. That's not what you need in a pastor. You need someone who's humble of spirit and somebody who knows that, not that they're so special, they've just been called by God out of His great grace. I'm the poster child that God has a sense of humor. And God will call me, He'll call anybody. But here, every pastor ought to know he's a sinner saved by grace. And he doesn't deserve to be doing what he's doing. Y'all, can I tell you this? I wake up surprised every morning that God lets me do what He's called me to do. It blows me away. And then when I meet somebody I used to go to school with 45 or 50 years ago, they're just as surprised as I am. Hello? Y'all, it's okay to smile in church, all right? That would help you. And let me say this. A pastor is not a dictator. He's not a bully. He's not a CEO. He is a humble servant leader. You got me? Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute, but take a look at what kind of man he is. If I died tomorrow, your personnel committee and the church council would make, eventually, that would be the search team, and they would make a recommendation to the church eventually. And so here's the kind of guy, here's the questions you ought to be asking when you're looking for a pastor. Are you ready for this? Ask somebody else who knows him. What kind of man is he? What's his reputation like in the community? How does he treat people? How does he serve and love his family? Is he a humble servant of God? A pastor is someone who shepherds the flock humbly. Can't say it any better. And by the way, God has a way of humbling everybody. Amen? All right, here's the second thing. Y'all like that one so much, let me get on to the next one. A pastor should feed the flock fully. Look at verse 2 again. shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as, now here's a key word, serving as overseers. That word overseers means ruler. I'll get to that in just a minute. Not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Now, the term shepherd brings some wonderful imagery to mind, does it not? Sheep need to be fed. Thank you. Did y'all know, let me tell you something about sheep. They would starve to death without a shepherd. They would. The shepherd has to lead them to green pastures and beside still waters. Sheep would starve if the shepherd doesn't show them where to graze. Okay? And one of the main responsibilities of the pastor is to feed the flock. How do you do that? Through preaching and teaching. And I want to tell you, I hope in my seven years with you guys, I hope that I somehow, the Lord has used me to help you to appreciate the Word of God. Hallelujah. A pastor is to give his congregation, the flock, a steady diet of the Word of God. And sadly, a lot of our congregations, well, not a lot, but some of our congregations are starving to death because the pastor's doing everything and doesn't have time to study. Whoever your pastor is, give them some time to study. Now, my Pentecostal pastor buddies, they can put a sermon together like that. But this old boy has to spend 10 to 12, 15 hours sometimes for a Sunday morning sermon. That involves prayer, involves study, involves reading. But in order for y'all to get a word, I've got to get a word. Y'all with me so far? And so a pastor is responsible for feeding the flock. Now, I had a great preaching professor in seminary, and he believed in expository preaching and teaching. And he ingrained in me, and you know what? Brother John Lytle was an expository preacher. That's who I grew up under at First Baptist Clarksville. And so I think, now you can do some topical preaching and do a good job with it. But overall, I think the best way to teach, for a pastor to teach is through expository preaching. Now, I'm not just talking about, going verse by verse through a book of the Bible. Now, Billy does that. And he's an expository teacher. But what I'm talking about is taking a pericope of script, well, forgive me, taking a passage of Scripture and answering the what, so what questions. In other words, give an explanation of what the biblical author was saying, and then what does this mean for us today? An application, an explanation, and an application. And then you take those truths home with you. And so I think, now I've preached through just about every book in the Bible over my 35 years in the ministry. Just about, not all of them. Haven't preached through Lamentations. You start reading in Lamentations and you'll get depressed. Hadn't done that one. Hadn't done the Song of Solomon either. Yeah, and if you'll read Song of Solomon, you'll know why. But I preach just about through every book. But anyways, I think that's the best way to, because you know what? When you're doing that kind of teaching and preaching, God will raise up issues that people are dealing with. And that way they think, well, the preacher's not picking on me because this is where we are. Hello? Help me, Jesus. And so whoever your pastor is needs to faithfully feed the flock, to preach and teach, not book reviews, not reruns of Andy Griffith, hallelujah, not cartoons. He needs to preach the Word of God. Give him praise in the house today. And we need to move quickly. Now, a pastor should lead the flock faithfully. He shepherds the flock humbly. He leads, he feeds the flock fully. And then thirdly, a pastor should lead the flock faithfully. Look at the latter part of verse 2. He says there in 2b, not by compulsion, but willingly. And then the 3b says, being examples to the flock. And so when you see the word overseer, like is right here, that word means to rule. Now, I've already told you, a pastor's not a CEO. He's not a dictator. He's not a bully. He's a leader. And really, that word to rule in the original language means more to lead. Now, I've pastored 4 Southern Baptist churches. You know what I've found in my time? Now, I'm being sweet. But you can't drag, pull, or push a Southern Baptist congregation because everybody's got an opinion. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. But you know what I have found out? You can lead a group of folks. You can lead a group of folks. You can. And so you need a good leader. And in today's world, I don't care what kind of preacher you are, you better have some people skills so you can lead. And when a pastor can't lead, he's done. When a pastor cannot lead the flock, he's done. Y'all with me so far? Now, let me say this. I am a believer in pastoral authority. But I'm not the head of the church. You know who the head of the church is? Jesus. I'm just the under-shepherd of the church. Okay? And he is the leader of the flock. Turn left in your Bibles just a few pages to Hebrews 13. You need to see this verse of Scripture. This is really good. Hebrews 13 in verse 7. Just turn left in your Bibles about a half a dozen pages. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Boy, I love to hear those pages. Hallelujah. Remember those who rule, there's that word again, who lead you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. You understand what the writer of Hebrews is saying? A pastor leads the flock through preaching, prayer, and practice. I'll say more about that in just a moment. But by the way, Mike's on our personnel team, and Billy Walker's on our personnel team. And guys, I've got a job description for the position of pastor, and it comes straight out of the book. Y'all ready for this? Whoo! This is good. Ephesians 4:11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why did the Lord give these men the responsibility of leading the church? Here's why. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Right there is your pastor's job description. My job is to lead you all in such a way that you're equipped for the work of ministry. But you know what the mindset in most churches are? Well, that's what we pay him to do. No, 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 no. My job is to equip you. And I do that through the preaching of God's word. I do that by mobilizing people to prayer, which I need to evidently do a whole lot better of. And then through practice, through being an example. Y'all with me so far? And so when you're looking for a pastor, make sure, and here's just a good thing. If I died tomorrow, when y'all start looking for a pastor, and I'm going to tell the Kenwood folks because they're looking right now, and find a man that's already being faithful to his flock. Don't go looking for somebody who's unhappy, who's wanting to leave, who's wanting to climb the corporate Baptist ladder. Look for somebody who's being faithful, who's a part of a growing church. And did y'all hear about the search committee? The last 3 pastors that they had stayed 18 months. And just a few years ago, that was the average stay of a Southern Baptist pastor. And so this search committee said, well, you know what? We've got a lot of criteria and stuff, but one of the main requirements we're going to have is whoever our next pastor is going to be, we're going to ask them to commit to staying with us at least 5 years. Well, they talked to three or four candidates, and no one was willing to commit to that. And then they ran into this old boy they really loved. He was a country Baptist preacher. And he was a good preacher. He loved people. He seemed to be like a great candidate. And then they said, well, here's the kicker. We're going to ask you to commit to staying with the church for 5 years. He said, no problem. I'm your man. And they said, really? Why would you say that? He said, well, the last three churches that I've pastored, I stayed with them till they all died. That's truer in a lot of ways than you might know. And so here's kind of the breakdown of the church leadership. A church that is pastor-led, deacon-served, committee or ministry-operated, and congregationally affirmed, that's a blessed church. That's a blessed church. Now, I need to say this. We're almost done. While the pastor's the leader of the flock, he's not to be put up on some pedestal to be worshiped. That's where Jesus belongs. Don't you worship me. Don't you worship any pastor. You love your pastor. You serve with your pastor. You pray for your pastor. You support your pastor, but you don't worship your pastor. If there's anything good about me, it's Jesus. If there's anything admirable about you, it's Jesus. If there's anything that's praiseworthy about you, it's Him. Give Him praise in the house today. Hallelujah. All right, here's the last one. I'm almost done. A pastor should bleed for the flock willingly. He feeds, he leads, and he bleeds. Now, what do I mean by bleed? Well, just simply caring for people. Just caring for people. A shepherd cares for the sheep. He protects the sheep. He provides for the sheep. He leads the sheep. He loves the sheep. He serves the sheep. A pastor is someone. Let me go back to that Hebrews 13 again. Whoo, it's good stuff. Just turn left again in your Bible. I want you to see this because this affects everybody in the house today. Hebrews 13, 17 says this. Obey. Say, uh-oh. Obey those who rule over you, who lead you, and be submissive. Oh, there's two tough words right there. Why? For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus one day and have to give an account to Him for the ministry that He laid in my lap. And I'm not ever going to ask y'all to do something I'm not positive about. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. 99% of our people make it a joy for me to be their pastor. But bless God, there's still that 1%. Hello? You're sitting there thinking, I wonder who it is. If you're asking that question, it might be. Hallelujah. All right. And by the way, I need to say this. A pastor prays for his folks. He cares for his folks. He corrects his folks. He loves his folks. He visits his folks. And he does it all out of love, willingly and without looking for something in return. I've never seen so many pastors who are money hungry today. Man, we're out doing all kinds of stuff to supplement our incomes. I'm living proof, man. God's able to take care of you. I don't know how we raised two daughters in Waynesboro and they got out of college debt-free when I'm making a whole lot less than I'm making now. I didn't make any money in the ministry until I got to Clarksville. Glad I got to Clarksville, Mike. Amen? But I want to tell you something. anyone who decides to go into the ministry for money, they're going to be miserable. Miserable. And I'll close with this. I believe it's, 1 Timothy 5. Woo! This is a scathing word for the church. 1 Timothy 5, 17. Let the elders, the pastors who rule, who lead well, be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. I want to tell you what, when a pastor has to worry constantly about paying his bills, taking care of his family, and he has to be constantly consumed with money, he's not going to be able to fulfill the obligations of a pastor. Take care of your pastor. Take care of your pastor. And I want to thank you all for taking care of me. Now, I'm at the stage in life, you know, well, hallelujah, I'm drawing some Social Security now. Glory to God. All you Social Security guys say hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Ain't it a blessing, huh? Now, just take care of him. And if he's doing a good job and he leads well, he's worthy of double honor. And if he preaches well, and he leads well, and he feeds well, and he bleeds well, take care of him. It is not your job to keep the pastor broke and humble. That's his job. Amen? Now, we're done. I don't know how in the world I'm going to land this plane and wrap this up, but here's what caught me this morning. The latter part of verse 1 in 1 Peter 5 says, and also are partaker of the glory that will be revealed. There's glory coming for us. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm looking for the glory. But now, not everybody in this room is going to make it to glory. You see, because if you want to get to the glory, that glory's got to get in you. Y'all with me so far? And so as your pastor, I probably may not be your pastor. Let me just share the gospel with you. That's another thing every pastor ought to do. We've all got a problem. We're all sinners. We're all in that boat, every single one of us. And our sins separate us from a thrice holy God. We've all broken his law. We've not lived up to his standards. We have sinned against him first and foremost. And that sin separates us from God. He's holy. He's righteous. He's just. He has to judge sin. And you know, God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. And he proved that by sending his one and only Son. And Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago, lived a perfect, sinless life. Never did sin. And he died in my place and yours, so that you could be forgiven of all your sin. What a Savior. And today, if you'd be willing to repent, to make a spiritual U-turn, to let go of the way that you've been going, and by faith trust Christ and follow him, surrender to him as the Lord of your life, you know what God will do? He will save you right where you sit. And you can walk out of here headed for glory. Oh, I could preach on heaven right now. It's going to be a great place. But you got to have that glory in you. And when God saves you, he sends his Spirit, puts his Spirit in us. And if you'd be willing to pray and just ask God to do that for you today, we will rejoice with you. And if you'll do that during this time of invitation, I want you to tell somebody. He's not ashamed of you. He died publicly for you. And you can't be ashamed of him. And I'm going to ask you to come forward. We want to get some stuff in your hands, some materials to get you help started right in your new life with Christ. And we want to pray with you and rejoice with you. So let's all bow our heads. Nobody's looking around now. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we come to you right now and ask God that you would bless the preaching of your word, the sharing of your word, and that most of all, you would save souls and you would change lives. And right now, if you're here, you just express that prayer to the Lord. That's right, just right where you sit, just pray. Ask God to forgive you. Commit your life to Him. Surrender to Him right where you sit. And thank Him for saving you right now. I want to tell you, God loves you. And if you prayed with, you really meant business, I believe right now, just now, you got saved. You're headed for heaven. And you have the Spirit of Jesus in you. But you cannot be ashamed of Him. And so I want to ask you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save you, I want you to just quietly, nobody's looking around, just quietly stand to your feet wherever you are. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Don't look around. Just stand to your feet. If you prayed, ask God to save you. All right. Here's what I'd like for you two guys to do. You see that sign on that war room? If y'all just head back that way, some of our deacons will give you some materials to help you get started right in your life with Christ, and they'll pray with you, okay? Just head right, that's right, right now, just head back to that war room. Deacons need you all to head back there with them. Thank you. Father, if there's anyone else in here today, please, God, don't let anybody leave here lost. Please, Lord, change lives. Thank you, Lord, for this day. We love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand for our last closing hymn of response.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.